a series through 1st and 2nd Peter, and so we're continuing that. And so we're going to read a portion of the first chapter to refresh our minds. But before I do, I just want to be able to just encourage you. And the reason why we gather every Sunday, the reason why we gather throughout the week as Bible studies, or the reason why we share meals together, is to be able to do what that last song just said, to be able to steward our souls well. So a lot of us, we're in the process of learning that the most important part of ourselves is actually our soul. And so there are times in your life when everything is miserable around you, and what God is inviting you into is to be able to speak over your soul and to remind your soul who your God is. And we have the privilege to be able to look to the cross, to be able to understand, to preach to ourselves that, hey, our God is so faithful that he didn't back down on me even to the point of death. He said that he is going to be faithful to me through death and be able to rise again victorious, to be able to prove that he's never going to fail me. And so there are times in our lives where we need to preach to our soul, hey, even though you don't feel it, hey, soul, I'm going to remind you who your God is. And I'm going to remind you that he's never failed you. So get your eyes up. Get your eyes up. Awaken your soul. And so that's why we gather each week, because I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to remind ourselves about who God is and what he has done. So 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then I'm going to pray for our time in God's word. They say this, they say, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you. We submit ourselves now to you and to your word. And the beautiful thing is that you care about each and every single one of us here. And you know each and every single one of us and what we are walking through. And the thing that every single one of us, that is true about every single one of us, is that you are inviting every single one of us to draw closer to you, to trust your hand, to be able to understand how much you love each and every one of us. And because of your love displayed on the cross through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, you now desire so much for each and every one of us. You want us to be able to see that you see us, that you desire us to draw close to you, and that you want to use us to do great and mighty things as we partner with you, as we rely on you, and as we draw close to you. So I pray that you would be with Pastor Tim, that you would speak powerfully through your word, and that you would cause us to have greater affections for you. So it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. We still got three copies of the lesson up here if anybody would like to grab one and follow along. Our last study time together here at Rhinebeck, just wanted to just give you a reminder before we did the three outdoor services. What we did is we used an analogy of a simple household food pantry. And so we tried to use that to just talk about this incredible provision and power that Christ has made available to us. Now, I just want to point out, the scholars say that when Peter shares these words with the exiles who are actually living in modern-day Turkey, that it was about 30 years after Christ had ascended back into heaven. Now, I mention this because I think it's super important. Sometimes we think, okay, we read 1st and 2nd Peter, almost like Peter just wrote this a couple years after he had been with Christ. And I point this out because for a lot of us, we take some time to get to a level of understanding growth and this level of progressive sanctification. So I want to point out that the Peter that we read about in the scripture, the young Peter, is a transformed Peter, a different, more mature Peter, a Peter that has learned and understood the things that he's saying to these exiles, that he's saying to us. And let's remember that the New Testament is a record of events primarily played out in what we call the Middle East or Southeastern Europe or Asia Minor. Now, if you look up here real quick, I want you to look at this because I think it's a great reminder, maybe. There it is. So remember the five provinces when you begin to read 1 Peter chapter 1. There's no reason to think that he's writing to anybody different than these same people. But I want you to just look and understand the proximity there. Most people believe that Babylon, when he's talking about, if you look over here to the far left where you see Rome, he started out here in this area of Israel near Jerusalem, and then all these people were sent up to this region for a very particular reason. Now, even the things that we were talking about earlier this morning, isn't it amazing that you've got these major powers, Russia, China, Iran, that are actually so focused and fixated on this little piece of property about the size of New Jersey, there's a lot going on. To me, what it says is that the God of the Bible, what God has put in place, there's some amazing things that he has in store, and it keeps going back to this particular part of the world. And so I just want to remind you as we jump in that Peter appears to be writing his second epistle to these same exiles. And these are Christians who had been exiled or scattered to regions that were not their original home place, not their original home of origin. They're basically living in foreign regions. Now listen to this. We've talked about this before, but what a reminder for today as we're going through 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is writing to encourage and challenge brothers and sisters who were living in perilous times of persecution. The depth of the things that he is sharing and the things that we're going to discuss this morning were written to people that were going through difficult times. Think about this. These people were hated. We've talked about this. These people were hated and despised by other quote-unquote religious people simply because they followed the teachings of a man who we call the Son of God, who did not respond in hate at any point in his life. He always responded in love, therefore he was hated. Has anything changed in our world? Sounds a lot like our current situation. Let me simply remind you of some things as we jump back into 2 Peter this morning. I want to read some phrases from the scripture that point out, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, his divine power. And I'm going to press into this morning because we were talking about this new spiritual potential that we have, this potential that most of us have never even tapped into by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the gift from God, the sealing as far as once Jesus left, he said, I've got to leave so that the Comforter can come. This is what we're talking about. He's given us all things. And it says, by which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Let me just say something real quick. These great and precious promises, the songs that we've been singing about, the things that we're talking about this morning, please hear me, because some of you might be here and you might be a little frustrated and discouraged. Because there's a huge difference between God keeping his promises and keeping his word and him meeting our expectations. Not the same thing. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of my life I've had these expectations, and then when God didn't meet my expectations, somehow I was like, God doesn't love me. But he always keeps his promises. And he's faithful to what he says that he's going to do. Doesn't mean that he has to provide a certain size lollipop with a certain color at a certain place and somebody's supposed to leave it on my fender to prove that he's God. He didn't have to work like that. So we struggle with that. It says, partakers of the divine nature. Do we really believe these things, or are they just fodder coming out of our mouth? Or is it just intellectual assent? Peter is saying that we can partake in his divine nature. You know what that says? I can be seriously, supernaturally jump-started. Partaking in his divine nature. See, this has come to a point of conflict. Do we really believe this? Wow. Let me read this to you again. Some of you need to hear this. I need to hear it. So we'll just start with me. Tim, faith is not the absence of doubt or fear. Let me read that again. Faith is not the absence of doubt or fear, but rather the reality of acting on what God says about himself, as well as what he wants for us based on what he has already done for us. He's already made incredible provision for us, and he's got unbelievable power available to us, but we have to tap into that. That is the cutest thing right there. Hey, Emma, how you doing? Good. That's awesome. Sorry, a squirrel. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or because of sinful desire. Let me just mention, it's talking about corruption, meaning moral decay, desire, craving, longing, especially desire for what is forbidden. And this is what I want to point out, especially in the times that we live in, because there's a lot of churches in America that have taught these principles falsely. And what we struggle with is because we are so addicted to comfort that it's easy for us to interpolate what we want to see in Scripture. That if you look at John chapter 17, I just want to remind you that what Paul's talking about is not us running from corruption or difficult situations or sinful stuff that we're surrounded by. What he's saying is that from the inside out, we can bear up and we can gain freedom over the corruption around us by being pure in our own souls so that we can live in the middle of this junk and we can shine brightly for those that live in darkness. Religion says, let's put you in a safe, comfortable place. You know why I know this is true? Because I've listened to people when Lori and I were in youth ministry. I've listened to people as a senior pastor who they come to Christ and then they want to be removed from difficult circumstances or difficult situations or from the pressure that they feel on a job or somebody is making fun of me because I carry a Bible or I believe the Bible. What we're supposed to do is flourish and blossom under that very pressure. That very pressure is what helps us press in by faith and have courage, because somebody said to me a couple weeks ago, and this has stuck with me, that what we're called to is to be courageous. What we're not called to is be control freaks. Guess who we're supposed to submit to that's in control? Him, Yahweh Elohim, the great God, our great King. And so in this process, we're not trying to remove ourselves from uncomfortable situations. Matter of fact, that's where the reality, the power, the gospel, and his divine nature becomes very evident, is when we stand up against the difficulty. Man, this is a popular point right now. Okay, we're moving on. I look really worried, don't I? Peter, and I want you to remind you this, Peter's been on both sides of the struggle. This is what I love about Peter. Poor Peter, man. He got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. It's all recorded. Well, no, that's not true. I can promise you Peter made a lot more blunders. That's why I love him. He's my brother. But you get to see where Peter, when he was young, he's trying to tell Jesus what to say and what to do. That's a misguided, arrogant brother. He's got a little bit of cocky going on. You know what I'm saying? But he knows what it is, because he's saying, you can read about that. But Peter is explaining the powerful depths of this potential that he's learned to live in. And this is what I want us to get back to. What I'm looking at this morning, and I can't say this enough, Peter's saying, I know what it was like to be confident in myself. But I have learned about this new potential inside of me. That's the old me. This new me is rocking, and I can't even explain it to you. Matter of fact, and we're going to talk about this later on, he says, I'm going to keep beating this same drum until I die. Because I've learned this is what it's all about. This is what he's talking to us about. Each and every one of us must make a personal decision to believe that this new spiritual potential is possible. I can't make that decision for anybody but moi. I can't even make that for my kids. Can't make that for my wife. It's a personal decision. This is often accomplished by watching, listening, and learning from other people. And this is where I believe that we've been led astray within church life. How do I learn about this new potential? By watching, listening, and learning from other people. Evan and Karen, they stood up. They shared their hearts. We got to learn from them. We get to watch them. We got our eyes on you. Joey, Brittany, you did the same thing. We get to learn from you. We get to watch the things that you guys have shared. Josh, yeah, here we go. How many of you thought Josh was going to flick that mic at somebody? Josh, man, I'm so proud of you and Megan. You rocked it. They stand up and they're sharing, and we get to watch, we get to listen, we get to learn from them, because we're able to see, man, they're talking about something different. They're talking about this. And when all three of you couples shared, this is not some quick, you do a switch, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, got wired to that new potential. I'm living in it now. No, it's a process. It takes time. Oh my goodness. This process becomes incredibly special. And to me, this is what the church is supposed to be about. This process becomes incredibly special when we simply say to somebody else, I picked on you last week.
How are you?
Good. It's his third time here. He's like, no, I might not be coming back. Okay? I say, I believe in you. A lot of you, what is the most important thing that we're trying to do as spiritual leaders here? Not stand up and speak and everybody go like, oh my word, that's the most amazing lesson I've ever heard. Yeah, might as well stop right there because I'm going to mess it up. No, that's not the goal. The goal is to be with you, to live so that you can watch, you can listen, you can see, and we can encourage. And what have I said to so many of you men, some of you grown men, I've looked in you in the face and I have said, I believe in you. I believe in you. And we walk life together. What I love doing is going to work with guys and hanging out with them and doing stuff with them. And while we're getting to work and live and we're talking about stuff, it's so that I can say, I believe in you. And some of you, as I'm looking around, some of you, it's been years since you've heard me say it, but nothing's changed. We are trying to be, and we should be, a place within these multiple counties where you can come into the church and not get condemnation and judgment and criticism, but somebody can experience, man, somebody believes in me. You know what? A lot of these kids, and I'm talking about kids that even come here, a lot of our young adults, a lot of our teenagers, a lot of our college students, you know what they are missing and what they need to hear and what they need to have in their lives is somebody simply believing in their potential. But more than that, believing in their spiritual potential, because that's where the completion of humanity comes in, by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Man. Yeah, I told you. Now you know what I was. I told you guys before the service. I just wanted to remind you. They're sitting there grinning at me. They know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to share three observations regarding what happens when we begin to press in toward our new potential. And I'm asking you, do you really believe that you have untapped spiritual potential that you have not pressed into yet? That's what we're talking about. And I don't have the answers for you for that, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God the Father, have that for you as you press into him. He wants to reveal these amazing things to you on the most personal level. But here's our challenge. Let me give you three observations. Faith creates a positive environment of higher expectations. That's potential. Faith creates a positive environment of higher expectations. Can I be honest with you? You know how I get myself in trouble? You know how why people get ticked off at me? You know why people get annoyed with me? You know, you want to know one of the reasons? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but we're going to focus on a couple, okay? I saw some of you going, oh, yeah, I got some ideas why. No. We're going to stay on point, maybe, unless I squirrel. Because when I see your potential in Christ, what that does for me is it raises my expectations. I have higher expectations of who you can be and how you can live and your path of faith and freedom than you do sometimes. And then what winds up happening is when we get to a challenge point, you're like, oh, Pastor Tim, you're being so hard on me. Yeah, guilty. Because I believe in incredible things for each and every one of us that will believe. And I believe that for people that haven't believed yet, because God loves us whether we believe it or not. So he's already made this provision and this powerful arrangement for us to have this incredible spiritual potential. And what that does by faith, it raises a bar on expectations. And some of you, I've looked at you. And I've said to you, man to man, I expect more out of you and I believe in you more than you believe in yourself. That's potential. Second observation, faith applied in family should create input and feedback for growth and development. I call this potential applied. More than ever before in our nation, people want to do their own thing and go their own way and say, oh, I don't need church. I don't need anybody else. Really, what I've learned, what that means for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people, what that means is I don't want to get close to anybody. I don't want anybody to know me. I don't want to interact with anybody because I don't want anybody else's input. I don't want their feedback because I'm really comfortable at status quo and I want to convince myself that I am full of the Spirit, but I don't want any feedback, I don't want any input because then that's going to show me that I've got areas where I still need to grow and develop. Some of you, you know, personally, you've come to me with things that you see that need to be improved, things you don't agree with. You think maybe there's some change. Maybe you've come to me and you said, Pastor Tim, I don't like the way you handled this. If you're here this morning, you've done that. You can testify. What do you get from me? Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for helping me see that. You want to know why? Because if we are really pursuing this new spiritual potential, and if growth and development is part of what we are trying to pursue, guess what? There are things that I can't see naturally, and so input and feedback become absolutely imperative for my growth and development and for our church growth and development. You know what I love? The years when we were, Lori and I were at a Christian camp and conference center, we were there for 13 years on the Chesapeake Bay. We would have conversations, and the next year we'd make some changes. And I always loved it when people would come back the next year and they're like, man, this is an incredible change. Oh my word, this is working so well. Where did you get these ideas from? And I'm like, the 10-year-old standing right over there. You understand what I'm talking about? Because I wasn't a camper. I was the executive director. But you have these little campers that come and be like, Mr. Tim, can I talk to you? Why don't we do it this way? And I would look down and go, I don't have a clue. That's a really great idea. We would implement it the next summer and everybody would be like, this is the best idea ever. And I'm like, thank the 10-year-old. Input and feedback. Let me ask you this. Are you scared to death of input and feedback? That should tell you something about your attitude toward your potential. Third thing, proclaiming potential and faith in someone means investment of time and resources. I call this potential in action. This is a rub where we are in society. Because helping other people walk in this new potential means some type of investment. That means that you're going to need to get your eyes off yourself. The world is not going to be about you. You're going to have to, just like what we talked about last week, you're going to have to look at other people outside of the lens of self-centeredness, and you're going to need to step towards somebody and make time and make space and invest maybe some time and resources. This whole plan of the gospel that we read about in the New Testament is not as complicated as what we've made it. It's really way more relationally simple than what we want to realize. But it means that there's some sweat equity in somebody else. Believing in someone's potential in Christ is a posture of the heart. And see, this is where we begin to really separate ourselves from academic, theological, intellectual Christianity, where we know all kinds of information, but it's all done within the comfort of our little bubble, to where that we're around and we're protected. It's not on the front lines of the nastiness of people's heartache and pain and struggle. We're in this little inculcated, surrounded, secure area where we can have little Bible studies together, and we're all in these safe environments. To invest in other people and help them realize their new potential in Christ is dirty business. And I'm just telling you right now that we are working to be genuine shepherds of the flock. If you've ever gone and worked sheep, I'm not going to tell you guys, but I mean, talk to them back there. It's not some ivory tower executive level involvement. When you're doing certain things, you may walk away and you may smell like burnt flesh. And you're probably, when you've got little lambs and when you're doing all these things and you're vaccinating, when you're doing these things, you're going to get their bodily fluids on you. It's not some pristine thing. You're in the trenches with the animals trying to take care of them. So it should be with us as a church family. Let's be a church that is learning how to encourage people. I'm going to read this a couple times for impact. Let us be a church that is learning how to encourage people for where they are and their potential in Christ instead of their past and their mistakes and failures. We are going to continue to be a church family that presses against the norm of Madison, Orange, Culpeper, Green, and surrounding counties, because it is so inherently natural around here for you to make a mistake at some point in your life, and everybody wants to keep you in that station regardless of what's going on in your heart and soul. We're not going to be that church family. And if you want to play that game, then at some point, somebody's going to find out and we're going to have a conflict, because we ain't doing that here. Let's be a church that is learning how to encourage people for where they are and their potential instead of their past and their past mistakes and failures. It does not take the greatest faith on the planet, but it does take enough faith to take action. So this is really more simple. Thank you, Tyler. I believe in you. I believe in you, just getting to know you. So what we do is we express belief. You seen all these new faces?
No.
Okay. And then guess what? This is where we made it too complicated. We just walk life together. And then as I believe in you, and as I believe in you, and then we believe that we have this new potential in Christ, then guess what? He brings people with him. He brings people with him. And it's about human beings. It's about investing in other human beings. It's about walking through the struggles. Because then there's going to be times where I'm going to be, and it's like, I'm going to need their encouragement. Because I'm having a really bad day. Oh, Pastor Tim, you don't have bad days. Ask my wife and my kids. But you see what I'm saying? It's about us walking life together. It's about investing in one another. It's about putting some, but it's not this super complicated, hard thing. How many times in the New Testament when you read where when Jesus invaded somebody's space and he transformed them, they didn't even know his name. They didn't know where he's from. They didn't have a bunch of information. And then they started getting buttonholed. People started getting buttonholed like, what? And they're like, all I can tell you is I was lame. Now my legs are walking, and I'm going to tell people about it. Once I was blind, but I can see you talking to me now, and I'm going to tell people about it. It's not that hard. Thank you, guys. Thanks, man. I do believe in both of you, by the way. So let's be a church family. And don't you think that the Church of Jesus Christ should be a place where people could come in and get some, at some point, somebody look at you and say, man, I believe in you. I'm glad you're here. And we can say it a bunch of different ways. But that's where we learn to dispense this living hope that we're talking about. Let's stand together and sing about these things together.